Meeting will come to order, and the game plan for the day will be we have some testimony. We thought we should hear from the state court administrator about their recommendations on judicial salaries to complete the picture. We've done a pretty thorough job, I think, of hearing from that after we hear from Mr. Shorba, I guess it is, the state court administrator. And then we'll get right into our recommendations. We made some pretty good progress the last two times. And review the format of the final report. And I think we can get all that done today. And so this could be our last meeting is the goal. We'll see what happens, how much we want to talk and do whatever here. So that's the goal today. So I think we will begin with the salary proposals with Mr. Shorba to present to us. We've heard from the Judicial Selection Committee and the District Judges Association, so we have some pretty good background information about that. And it was thought to complete the picture, we should hear from you, and welcome to our group. And why don't you just go right ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for the invitation. My name is Jeff Shorba, and I am the State Court Administrator for the Minnesota Judicial Branch. And I was asked to appear before you today to talk a little bit about how our Judicial Council came up with its recommended salary increase for judges. So before I do so, I just want to make a little bit of an explanation about how we come up and with our recommendation and what the process is. We have what's called the Judicial Council within the Minnesota Judicial Branch, which is the administrative policy-making body for the branch, and they are responsible for coming up with the fiscal year 2021 biennial budget request. The Judicial Council is chaired by the Chief Justice of the Minnesota Supreme Court, and is comprised of 25 members, 19 judges, and 6 administrators. The 19 judges are voting members of the council, 15 of which are trial court judges. So we spent many months considering many, many worthy proposals brought forward by our judges and staff across the state. Ultimately, the funding request the Judicial Council approved includes only what we consider the highest priority budget issues facing our courts, as determined through months of research, discussion, and difficult decision-making. For the Minnesota Judicial Branch, our priority has been and continues to be the ability to deliver prompt justice for the people in our state. And we believe the FY 2021 budget request will enable us to continue our efforts to provide efficient, effective, and cost-beneficial services to the citizens of the state of Minnesota. So after careful consideration of the many proposals, the Judicial Council concluded that the branch's budget request would concentrate in 5 key areas. First, providing resources necessary to manage the growth we are seeing in our trial court caseloads. Second, addressing the rising costs of providing mandated psychological services. Third, sustaining Minnesota's treatment court program. Fourth, improving the cybersecurity of Minnesota's courts. And I can certainly talk about all of those, but I'm here really to talk about the fifth part of our budget request, which is to address the judicial branch workforce challenges. Our total branch budget request, as approved by the Judicial Council, is $44.761 million, or an increase of 6.38% to our base budget. The request includes a compensation increase of 3.5% each year for judges and a similar 3.5% compensation pool for employees. As I noted at the beginning of my remarks, the role of the Judicial Council is really to consider the needs of the judicial branch as a whole. For 6 months, we evaluated the needs of the branch so that we could prioritize our budget request for the next biennium. One factor in those deliberations and discussion by the Judicial Council was the overall size of our request. One of the things we recognize is that the legislature has a very difficult job of weighing many different requests against the state's limited resources. The council wanted to make sure we were asking for what we absolutely need and bringing forward a reasonable request given the finite resources available. So one of the things we look at is past experience. What has been our experience with the legislature in the recent past in terms of increases? For the past three bienniums, we have received an appropriation increase of approximately 6%, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. And therefore, we use that as a target number for this year's request. In order to meet that target number, obviously, we had to seek compromise. We were not able to fund all of the proposals that came forward. And one compromise the Judicial Council decided to make was to include a judicial compensation request smaller than the one supported by the Minnesota District Judges Association. To arrive at the request of compensation increases of 3.5%, we first performed a salary market survey to determine a reasonable increase for our 2,600 employees. We found that a request for an increase to fund a 3.5% compensation pool for employees would keep the judicial branch salaries in the competitive corridor with our other public sector employers. The Judicial Council chose to ask for the same percentage increase for judges. A consideration for the council in choosing the same percentage rate increase was also internal perception problems that could arise if a judicial compensation request was higher than the one sought for staff. The council felt it would be best to ask for the same percentage increase for both groups. In addition, as you're probably very aware, we needed to look at the whole system. And as I mentioned, there are a number of other things that needed to go into our judicial branch request that didn't involve compensation, so that it also was a factor in trying to stay within that target of 6%. So that's the summary of how we came up with the 3.5% increase for judges. I really appreciate the invitation to come and talk a little bit about it. I'm happy to answer any questions that I can this morning. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Shorba. Members of the council, let's go ahead. Mr. Gregory.
Mr. Shorba, thank you for being here this morning. You began your remarks by talking about the balancing of a number of different priorities. Can you talk about the relationship between those funding priorities? In other words, is it your sense or is it the council's sense that an increase or a greater request in one of those areas would mean potentially less funding for some of the other priorities?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Gregory, we had to weigh all of them to come up with this 6% target. So obviously, if you go a little higher in any area, you're going to have to come less in some other area. So we did have to sort of balance that together. But there were also the questions about perception, asking for the same for judges that we did for staff. So that also factored into the decision. But there was certainly some compromise because more in one area would probably mean less than others.
Thank you.
Ms. Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Shorba. That's very helpful. You said that you've, over the last three biennia, you've received about a 6% increase. Have you requested more than 6% or have you kept your request at the 6%?
Mr. Chair, Ms. Olson, we have kept it at around 6%. As you heard me say at the beginning, this request is 6.38. Mm-hmm. So you never can get targeted right at it when you're asking for various things. But we've tried to keep it around that. Sometimes we've got actually a little more than we requested, sometimes a little less.
Okay. And in your market study that you did you find the same differential with the non-judicial employees as with the judges with their respective markets?
I'm not sure what you mean by the differential.
Okay. Well, so you said you did a market study to look at salaries.
Right.
And I assume because you're asking for a 3.5% increase that you found that your non-judicial employees were paid less than their counterparts. Is that correct?
Well, actually, what we're trying to do, we believe that right now we're pretty competitive with our public sector counterparts here in Minnesota. But the 3.5% came out of the study as what we thought we needed to remain there. because we do see other public sector employees, particularly counties, going up within the next biennium. So we need to stay competitive. And this is what the study thought we would need to do that.
And that's true for the judges' salaries as well?
We did not study the judges' salaries. I think you saw the study from the Minnesota District Judges Association.
Right.
Yeah, we were looking just at employee salaries.
And did you take exception with any of the findings in the study that the District Judges Association?
We did not, no.
Okay.
But there are just other, as I said, other considerations that went into our budget request.
I understand. Yep. Thank you.
Mr. Robbins.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Shorba. That was an excellent presentation. I'm curious what the largest or most significant drivers. You mentioned a list of priorities. Where do you see the greatest amount of stress on your staffing system in terms of costs?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Robbins, the greatest pressure that we're seeing, and I'm sure you've probably heard in testimony from the Judges Association, we are having a very significant retirement wave going on among our staff. So we're losing a lot of very senior staff right now. And we are also seeing our need for very specialized staff, especially in the technology area, going up. When our people leave the judicial branch, our staff I'm talking about now, about a third go to retirement. About a third of the people leaving are going to other public sector employers, and about a third are going to other private sector employers. We're under no illusion that we're ever going to be as competitive with the private sector, but we don't want to be losing people to public sector employees if we can. So that's the pressure we're feeling. How can we retain the people that we have, and how can we go out in this very competitive labor market and get the people we need to do the kind of work we're doing right now? We're very technology savvy judicial branch, doing a lot of things with technology, and so we need to remain competitive, both for technology staff and others. So those are the biggest pressures.
Ms. Lyons.
Mr. Shorba, can you speak to, you talked about number five of your priority being branch workforce, and you alluded to a little bit of that. Can you speak to efforts to retain and recruit women and people of color into those roles?
Mr. Chair, we are doing a lot in terms of recruitment. I just had a meeting with all of our district administrators last week to look at new recruitment strategies, especially targeting that population, because we want our court staff to look like the people we serve. And so we're doing a lot of outreach efforts. One thing we did just recently was change the name of our line staff, their classification. They used to be called senior court clerks. Now they're called court operations associates. And our numbers of people applying for our jobs has risen significantly, actually, just by changing the name. People don't want to be a clerk. They want to have some other kind of job title. We have been doing a lot more recruitment, especially in outstate Minnesota, to try to gain more of that population. We're seeing pockets of minority individuals in various districts, and so we're trying to recruit among those individuals through outreach efforts. So it is a big initiative of the judicial branch.
Did you, how do you deal with the district judges study that talked about a 0.6% real decrease in salaries that occurred in 2018? And I notice you did not mention inflation, if you considered that as you went forward in your earlier remarks.
Mr. Chair, the Judicial Council heard from the District Judges Association about the study and the details of the study. I think the bottom line for the council was not that they felt that the study wasn't accurate, but they had to take into consideration all kinds of other demands for resources in the judicial branch and trying to stick with that target. And so those compromises had to be made. So we're not debating the study that the Judges Association put together. We just had other things that we had to consider.
Would you agree then that there was a decrease in real wages for the district judges?
The Judicial Council really didn't take an opinion on the study, on the merits of the study. I'm not an expert in the study, so I really can't debate the pros and cons of the study itself. I think you probably heard from the people who did the study.
They're experts.
I'm not really here to comment on that.
It sounds to me like you were very cognizant and worried about that 6% target that being something realistic in the arena. Was that the driving force?
So, Mr. Chair, let me just talk a little bit about the philosophy of the branch and how we come up with our request. We are very cognizant that the legislature has a lot of tough decisions to make. And we are a separate branch of government, but we obviously rely on the governor and the legislature to provide us with our funding. And the Judicial Council's philosophy has always been to go and ask for exactly what we need, but to be realistic about what we think the climate is out there for getting percentage increases. There are some who've argued, ask for 12% and maybe you'll get 6%. We don't do that. So yes, we were very cognizant of the target because we want our request to look like we understand the nature of the difficult decisions the governor and the legislature have to make.
Okay. Other questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Wanzer.
Administrator Shorba, thank you for coming today. I appreciate your time. I apologize for my ignorance, but I'm from the Winona area. Are the Supreme Court justices appointed or elected?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Wensler, the Supreme Court justices generally are appointed by the governor, and they serve a six-year term, so they will run for election. Mm-hmm. If somebody decides to challenge a sitting justice during an election and they win, then they would become a justice of the Supreme Court. So in the history of the court, people have been appointed by the governor and then serve and have to run for election.
Okay. In the period of time that you've done research, in that period of time, has there been any dearth or lack of candidates for associate justice or Supreme Court chief justice running for election?
I don't believe we've had a problem with a recruitment for people to become a chief justice or associate justice of the Supreme Court.
Okay.
We have seen some reduction in applicants in various parts of the state for district court judgeships, and I know you probably heard some of those statistics from the Judges Association.
Okay. My last question is that under the statute we have or that we look at for guidance, there is a section that we have where the other constitutional officers have a percentage of the governor's office or the governor's salary. Is there any kind of a similar comparison to the Chief Justice's salary? Is any other salary tied to or associated with the Chief Justice's salary?
No, they are not. They're not tied to any executive branch officials or other constitutional officers.
Thank you.
Any other questions? If not, we thank you, Mr. Shorba, unless there's somebody on the phone that has a question. Hearing none, why? Thank you very much for coming over. We very much appreciate it.
And thank you. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm going to back up a minute since I missed it. The first item on the agenda was to adopt the minutes. If we can have a motion to do so.
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
Yeah. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, we have members participating by phone.
There we go again. So we have to do a roll call.
Yes.
Chair Berg.
Yes.
David Asp. Marilyn Dahlquist.
Yes.
Annie Deckert.
Yes.
Joy Demery Lance. Yes. Tom Evenson?
Yeah.
James Fox?
Yes.
Peter Gregory?
Here.
Jessica Macias? Bob Meyerson?
Wasn't here, so I'll abstain.
Gail Olson?
Yes.
James Robbins?
Yes.
James Wensler?
Yes.
Jennifer Zielinski?
Yes.
11 yes.
Okay. The motion carried. So, we're down to item 3 on our agenda, which is a discussion of the an adoption of the recommendation of our recommendations. And is Mr. Asp on the phone? He's planning to call it, as far as we know. He got us started down kind of an interesting path there. Should we start with the judicial salaries? Anybody have a preference? If not, why don't we do that? And let's, you've heard the recommendations. Mr. Hubinger, maybe you can tell us again the timing of this to get it in front of us, how this works, if you wouldn't mind.
Mr. Chair and members, under the council statute, the council is to make recommendations for the next odd-numbered year. So the recommendations can be in two parts. There can be a first and a second increase. The first one would take effect in January of 2021, and the second one in January of 2022. In the past, the council has made other recommendations that are not statutorily required, but have been included in the report.
Have you seen the look at last year's report? You can see what our last time around the report, what we did. We talked about the present period and then also our recommendation. So what do you think? Mr. Meyerson.
Mr. Chair, I may be one of the few in the room who actually is in the private sector and has employees. Not sure about that, but every year when we give raises, and unless we're going into a depression, I guess we'll continue that, we take a look at both the rate of inflation, and of course there are many different rates of inflation that you could look at. You could look national, you could look state, you could look by sector. We try to at least keep pace with that and then add an addition because we like to stay ahead of the competition. So for 2019, we used as a base 3%. So that was about 2.1% inflation plus 1%. And we deviated up and down off that standard. And the prior year, I think it was a little bit less than that. Inflation was a little bit less. So based on the testimony that we've heard, and because state court administrator was recommending 3.5%, that would be in line with what we're doing in the banking industry. So I don't know if I should make a motion at this point, but again, I would support the 3.5% each year, 2020 and 2021.
Okay, that is helpful. Why don't you just hold the motion for a second? Let's see if we have some more discussion about this or other views or whatever. One can always, once we get a motion in front of it, you can always amend it, obviously, if you want to go higher or lower and whatever. So your thought is to have it go up 3.5% in 2021 and 2022.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Sorry.
Do you have any thoughts about the current situation, 19 and 20? Last year we talked about that. The last cycle. We recommended, I think it was 3.5% for the existing year that we were in and 3.5 the following, and then we kicked it up a percentage for the following 2 years. We went to 4.63 for 2019 and 20 was the recommendation of this council.
Based on what I just said, I guess I don't have any comment.
I understand. Yeah, I just want to make sure everybody else understands that. So well, then I'd say go ahead and make a motion, and we'll see what happens.
Okay. I move for the increases for the judicial salaries to 3.5% in 2021 and another 3.5% in 2022.
Discussion of that motion. Or first of all, a second. See if we have a second.
So moved.
We have a second. Other discussion?
Mr. Chair, I appreciate all the work that the District Court Judges Association did, and I think based on their work and also comments from the Judicial Selection Commission, we do have a growing concern about whether or not we're going to attract people from both the public and the private sector into judicial positions if we don't move up. And on the other hand, I appreciate the concerns of the Chief Justice and the Supreme Court Administration about having to fund other demands as well that are not optional things. So I think this is very tough, But I just want to say I appreciate all the work that all of these parties have done. We have the most illustration of these positions, I think, than any other ones that we're looking at.
I share your sentiments on this myself. It's a difficult thing. And as we vote on this, we will get recommendations, and then we'll have I was thinking we would have a final vote on the whole package, but I guess when I think about it and say it out loud, this would be the time to vote yes or no on this thing. So,
may I ask another question?
Sure.
I was just trying to pull out the summary of what the legislature actually did with our last recommendations. Can you remind me of where we're at with that?
Mr. Chair and members, that gets picked up on this colorful spreadsheet that you've got for the judges in the current biennium. The chair indicated what the council recommended in 2017, the pair of 4.63 and then the 3.5% increases. The legislature actually authorized increases of 2.5% in July of each year, in July of 17 and July of 18.
So they came in at a percentage, one percentage lower than our recommendation last time for the current area here.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Winsler.
From the testimony I've heard and the rest of the council, my understanding is there isn't any issues in retaining Supreme Court Chief Justice or Associate Justices or Appeals Court Justices, but a lot of the talent and the need and the desire for diversity and increasing additional staffing was on the district court level. And I do appreciate Councilman Meyerson's recommendation, but I would like to have the council consider an adjustment where we have a larger increase for the district court judges, but we have a smaller increase or no increase for the Supreme Court justices. Because based on what I remember of the weight of the testimony was coming from the District Court Judges Association, the work that they do, the need to be able to recruit a diverse pool of candidates. And I know that the council had looked at making recommendations in for constitutional officers in a dollar amount, but we're looking at percentages for the justices and the judges. I would really strongly recommend the council look at making a larger increase for the district court judge and then a smaller increase or no increase for the Supreme Court justices. I understand that may be interesting as a recommendation, but we should take into account the legislature's personality, that they're going to be looking for where did the council make a difficult decision where some individuals may not have been treated to the same kind of percent increase, and then balance that out with the strength of their recommendation and to try to get the full recommendation passed for the district court judges. In addition, if I remember correctly, the district court judges are tethered to administrative law judges and others that also have a percentage increase, very similar assignment that the constitutional officers have to the governor. So I believe that that would be something that the council could digest, and I would like to recommend that if that would be something that would be useful.
Mr. Meyerson, it certainly is. That's an interesting topic, and let's talk about it.
Yeah, Chairman Berg, Mr. Winsler. Yeah, I agree. It's very interesting, and I sympathize with that because one of the perks of the job of being on the state Supreme Court is the greater prestige. Also, it seems from the testimony, as you quoted, that maybe the difficulties, the recruiting difficulties, are below that level. So if you would like to modify my proposal, I'm agreed. But I do have one question. Since the court administrator was recommending 3.5 across the board, and we come in with something different, well, you know, that throw a wrench, thank you, into the recommendation.
Well, if I may respond, Mr. Chairman.
You certainly may.
I agree with the process that we have, but what we're looking at is we're trying to make a recommendation that, as the chairman and the previous members have indicated, was not taken up in whole by the legislature. And I believe that there is a certain strength that we can explain that the information we received, we didn't just go with the recommendation. We digested it, we thought about it, and this is why we believe that the weight of a percentage should be for the district court level because of, and then we indicate the following of the data that they gave us, the difficulty in recruiting, the ability for them to take care of their needs and to save up for their families and to retain them when they're good judges. I believe that that is a reasonable explanation that the council can explain in its written decision when it makes the recommendation to the legislature, that we didn't just take the recommendations and stamp them and go forward. We looked at them and we feel that the weight of the information, the testimony, and our own common sense, which may be rare in the legislature, but you never know, but we look at it as though the dearth and the largest quantity of need is to make up what the district court judges are making, and that they didn't get the full 3.5 that we recommended 2 or 3 years ago. We would like to not only make the point that that was important, that our recommendation should have been taken last time, but that the reason we're making this recommendation this time is because it's very important based upon the information we received. And my friendly amendment to your motion would be that it would be 5.3% for the district court judges for 2021 and 2022. It would be 1.5% for the appeals court judges, 2% for the appeals court chief judge, and a 0% for the Supreme Court associate and chief justice. That would be my friendly amendment for discussion if it's accepted.
Well, can you just hold the amendment part of it for the moment? You've got some numbers out here, and let's talk about all this, because I think you've opened up the door to an interesting and appropriate discussion for us. And I would just mention to Mr. Meyerson that, yeah, it would be a sort of a wrench in the process, but there's nothing wrong with us doing that. And I think the process maybe needs a wrench or two thrown in, and that's maybe part of what we can do and should do. I don't know. But it is that part of it doesn't bother me too much, at least. But let's talk about it. Mrs. Linsky.
Mr. Chair, and just for clarification, can we separate how we increase the percentages for both the Supreme Court and the district court judges? I just want to, because I just see one section right here. I just want to make sure that.
She's looking in the summary.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
So
okay.
We're able to.
Sure, we can do whatever we want. We got a lot of leeway.
Okay.
To do this here, it's our recommendation, Ms. Olson.
Well, so I appreciate the creativity of Mr. Wensler's proposal, and I think there's merit to that consideration. I will say that we haven't heard from the appeals court judges. We don't know anything about that, really. We haven't heard any testimony about the market forces and so forth and what the difference is between an appeals position and the trial court position. So I have some concerns about that. And I also have concerns about zeroing out the Supreme Court. Since it's not just a question of are we attracting qualified candidates, but are we also fairly compensating those candidates. So that's the concern I have, that we don't know anything really about what the pressure is at the appeals court level. And we haven't heard testimony. And there, I assume there is not a Court of Appeals Judges Association as there is with the district court judges.
As far as I know, there is not one. Yeah, I think that's right. One other option might be to do the district court judges at 5% as they recommended and the others at 3.5% per the council recommendation. Now, that would be different than what you recommended. We can vote or something, but I'd throw that out as a possibility to think about it, and we can vary numbers as we go forward here.
Well, and I will note, too, that there are, 10 times as many trial court judges as appellate judges? 8 times?
At least.
Something like that.
Several hundred.
It's a lot of difference. So this is a big impact on what the Supreme Court is requesting from the legislature. I don't know, you know, what the equation is and what the end amount is. That's a very big change.
Mr. Chairman, that was one of the reasons why, and I understand the thought process and the difficulty of putting in a zero recommendation for anyone, but from the perspective of being able to make a hard decision, I believe that it is important to recognize that the appellate court judges, they didn't send a representative. I don't know if we sent an invitation, but I can't base my decision based off of no testimony. I can only base my decision off of the testimony that I did receive and did hear, and then weight that testimony as appropriately and as objectively as I can, which is why I do feel strongly for the 5.3% for the district court judges. And I'm trying to balance that out by sending a message to the legislature that we were willing to make some sort of a sacrifice and not recommending anything for the Supreme Court. But that's where I'm trying to reach that balance as best as I can. There could be a different way of doing it.
Mr. Gregory, you have a question?
Yeah, briefly, thank you, Mr. Chair. I was looking back at the report from the District Court Judges Association. They were projecting 2% inflation, at least over the next 2 years, and I believe similar rates of inflation in the following biennium. And I'm concerned, given the news reports we've been getting from the governor's office about the downward projection and the state's surplus, that the request that the Judicial Council had crafted even several weeks ago at a time when we were expecting a $1.5 billion surplus is now going to be subject to even greater scrutiny with a downward revised budget surplus forecast. And I recognize that you know, it's not the job of this council necessarily to consider all of the different factors that the Judicial Council considers. However, we have heard testimony today that the judiciary is balancing a number of different competing and, in some cases, constitutional obligations, such as giving psychological evals to individuals with constitutional rights. So while I do agree with Chairman Berg's point that we should not refrain from throwing a wrench in the works, so to speak, if we feel as a matter of conviction that that's what needs to happen, I think we ought to proceed very carefully if we decide to consider making a recommendation that's different from the one that the Judicial Council has come to after balancing a variety of considerations.
Ms. Lenz. Go ahead. Is that, identify yourself on the phone. Good old technology. Let's see if we can. If you're on the phone and have a comment, really speak up and make some noise, because we're maybe having a little bit of trouble hearing on this end. And meanwhile, Ms. Lance is recognized.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm also thoughtful about the downward projection and the challenge of inflation, and that isn't necessarily included in, you know, that the budget has to reflect that, but that's a challenge to be able to anticipate that and budget effectively. And so while I appreciate the creativity, I wonder if I agree with some separation, but maybe countering that district court judges down a little bit, maybe to 4% or 3.5 and everybody else to 3.25. So it's a little more in line. It looks like quite an outlier. And so, again, I'm thoughtful of the inflation and the downward forecast of the surplus, supposed surplus.
All right. Other discussions, Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Chair Berg. I'm going to agree with Mr. Gregory and put an emphasis on the fact that the budget projections do not include inflation. So we're already in a projected deficit. When we recommend what would be in accordance with the Supreme Court recommendation, that would mean a 6.38% budget increase, and that is not in the projections for future biennia, and that sort of reinforces over time each year out. Of course, it compounds, and if we are seeing a higher inflation rate, which we anticipate, that's exactly what will happen. For those of us who served last in the last council, you'll recall that we had some consternation about the fact that we are making recommendations further out than is comfortable, and I still feel strongly about that, and I agree with Mr. Asp's observations from last meeting when he indicated that it doesn't appear that we get taken very seriously. I've given it a lot more thought, and I do feel fairly strongly that this council should sunset, that the requirements for this council should go to the Legislative Salary Council, and that they act in the out years. So they would have their legislative activity as they did this year, and then next year they would address these recommendations, which would be much closer to the period of time that they would be considered. And I believe the legislature would take them much more seriously because that council performs the salary setting for the legislature. And I've given it a lot of thought since the last meeting, and I really feel strongly that's what we should be doing.
So you would like to see us do an other recommendation about the timing of these things like we did last time around?
I would. I know we're not going to support it, so I'm not going to offer it, but I do feel fairly strongly that because of the competency and the respect that the Judicial Council, the Supreme Court, Mr. Shorba's group does, they're clearly the drivers, and I agree with their recommendation. So I'm going to only vote for a recommendation in accordance with that council.
But you would also consider putting in, we'll circle back to this, another recommendation to change this timing issue like we did in the 2017
would,
council?
I certainly would encourage us to do that, yes.
I would too, and so I think we can get that in as a separate part of the other recommendation thing here. So, Mr. Meyerson, you started this whole thing.
Mr. Chair, I have three thoughts. First of all, based on what the members are saying, and if it's parliamentary, I would like to withdraw my motion so that we come up with a more consensus motion. Secondly, I think not to give the Supreme Court justices a raise is something of an insult and maybe sends the wrong message. If we're raising everybody else, we could lower their percentage, but nevertheless, I think they ought to have one. And third, when we're adjusting these percentages, assuming we are, do we somehow have to be revenue neutral? Because there, how many, 5, 7 Supreme Court justices, but many more district judges and even many more than that employees.
I suppose we could think about that calculation about the revenue neutral of the 3.5 for everybody and then play around with it. I don't know that that's too
I think critical. That's why we have a legislature.
Yes.
I mean, they really spend enormous amounts of time trying to do all of that balancing. So I think we have to be cognizant of what we're putting out, certainly, but we can't make those kind of assumptions.
Well, the motion is withdrawn, so we don't have that before us, which withdraws the amendment for the moment. But we can kind of circle back to all of this parliamentary and get it on here. I'm just going to throw out something based on this discussion about doing something a little bit more for the district judges and leaving the rest at the 3.5%. And I don't know exactly where those numbers are. That wouldn't be quite in accordance with what Mr. Gregory was saying. We're changing what the council does, but it recognizes some of the testimony and a problem we perceive. And if we can come up with some numbers there, let's see if we can get some agreement on that or consensus. Ms. Lance, do you have?
Well, maybe, Mr. Chair and members, maybe even if we're recommending 3.5 for everyone else, maybe even 3.75. It's a little bit more. It's not quite as ambitious as 5, but a little bit something. Again, hoping the budget and everything else evens itself out, but anticipating that it won't. It's a little bit generous, but I feel like it's still conservative enough that it's a safer proposal.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Wensley.
I'd like to make the following motion. I'd like to make a motion for 4% for district court judge and district court chief judge, 2% for appeals court judge and appeals court chief judge, and 2% for Supreme Court associate justice and chief justice.
Okay. Motion is before you. Is there a second for
second.
That?
Second. Yes. I second that.
Second it. Okay. Appellant and district Supreme Court. Other comments on it, Mr. Meyerson?
Yeah, Mr. Wensler kind of took the numbers out of my mouth, and so I support that. So it's 4-0, 2-0, 2-0, and 2-0 is what you're saying?
Yes. And that would be for the years 2021 and 2022. So just so that everybody's aware, that would be 8%.
Each year. Yeah, okay.
So 4% for each year. And hopefully Councilman Zielinski also agrees.
Okay, we're picking up some support, I think, here as we go along. Let's see. Other comments about this? And think about it for a little bit. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Chair Berg. That will increase their budget considerably. Be aware of that because of the proportion of district judges to appellate and supreme. Beyond that, and I meant to say this in my earlier comments, we could urge that they study the differential between supreme, appellate, and district court judges, given apparent shortages in the district, in certain district court jurisdictions. I'd be much more comfortable with that. No one has recommended moving away from across the board in the recommendations by the judges, and I just think the extent of study that they have done at those two levels, the district and the state system level, if they had identified that concern for us, we would have a reason to pursue it, but we haven't had the evidence here. We have not done our due diligence to be able to do this, so I will be opposing it.
Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to remind us that in the Judicial Council's deliberations, that the perspective of the district court judges was fairly and adequately represented at least two ways. One is they heard the same testimony and received the same report that we did, but we also heard testimony that this morning that the council itself is composed of 25 members, including, I think, 13, but please correct me if I'm wrong, 13 district court judges. So I think we should not assume that, and I think someone made the suggestion earlier, that the Judicial Council is really, you know, advancing the agenda of the Supreme Court, and I'm not sure that that's accurate. You know, the Judicial Council is representing and considering the perspective of a number of different constituencies, including the District Court Judges Association. So I think, again, that 3.5% recommendation that they have put forward takes into account all of the concerns that were expressed to us by the District Court Judges Association.
That's helpful. Other comments? I asked Mr. Hubinger here if we can get a rough approximation of what this would do to the overall budget. He said we could get that if we delayed the vote on this for a while. I mean, 15, 20 minutes kind of thing, and get a ballpark number if that would help people. I don't know. Ms. Olson?
I computed the new salaries, but I don't know what the budget implications of that would be.
Pardon? Say that again, please.
I've computed what the new salaries would be for the first year. I haven't gotten to the second year. So district court judge would be 163,465. Chief judge of district court would be 171,638. Court of appeals judges, 174,134. Chief judge of the court of appeals, 182,840. Supreme court associate, 184,805. And the Chief Justice, 203,286.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Lance.
As I'm thinking about this, I'm uncomfortable with the 2% because it feels significantly lower than the Judicial Council had proposed for their own folks. So I, too, would vote in opposition I feel really strongly that we should stick closely, given, again, the research and the data points that they've done.
Okay, that's helpful, I think. I'm trying to process all this as well with everybody here. Kind of a difficult question. Your earlier idea about 3.75 for the district judges and keep the others the same, that would have a significantly smaller impact, I would guess, on the overall budget. To me, maybe make some sense. It would send a message a little bit and with something attached to it. But try to continue. Personally, sympathetic to what Mr. Gregory is saying about how all this works, but I'd like to kind of send a message here, I guess. Yes, Ms. Digger.
Mr. Chair, I personally feel more comfortable with along the lines of the 3.5, 3.75. When we were listening to Mr. Shorba, he did really kind of hit home that the council wanted to see the same increase across the board, which is something that I really want to keep in mind, and he also indicated that they're very, very, really being realistic with asking for what they want. So I feel more comfortable keeping the percentages a little more closer than the large differential.
Procedurally, we could, if you were to try an amendment to your motion, see if that passes, and then, or if not, and then we get to your vote if it goes down. So procedurally, that would work fairly easily, I think. Other thoughts and comments? Well, I'll keep talking so you give you a chance to think.
So are you saying 3.75 for the district court judges? Is that, I wasn't sure what number you're.
Okay.
And then 3.5 for the Supreme Court and appellate court judges.
For the others?
So I see a little nodding here.
Have we proposed that amendment?
No, I'm waiting for somebody to do so. Ms. Lanz?
I will move.
Oh, okay.
The switch.
Mr.
To
Robbins
three
goes 3.75, and Ms. Lanz seconds. Fair enough.
Second.
And
3.5 for the others, the Supreme Court and the appellate courts. There'll be a slight I don't know how slight it is. It might, but it'll be a lot smaller than what we were talking about, at least. A further discussion, yeah. Mr. Meyerson.
Yes, I don't think that motion takes into account Mr. Wensler's suggestion that the Supreme Court judges probably should lag the other increases. Am I correct?
You are.
It does not.
The only reason, and if I may, to the council, I appreciate the amendments, and I understand where everyone's coming from. But I'm trying to also work within the desire of the council to get their recommendation not only approved by the legislature, but majority of it. So as I look at where I can make not as large an increase, and I look at the data that was given to us from the testimony we've had today and previously, I'm trying to balance out those two very large competitive ideas that the legislature is going to have. So we've got one side where we've got a budget that's coming up that may or may not be what we planned it to be. We've got recommendations from people who have brought data points before us, which strongly influenced us to want to make these increases. But I'm also looking at, if we make the increases that are larger, then we also have a larger potential deficit. We have a larger potential opportunity and obstacle of the legislature actually passing it. So I understand where each of the members are coming from, where 2% seems to be not necessarily what they would want to give because of the recommendations we've received and the data points we've received. I would still like to see us make a point that the district court judges do a lot of the yeoman's work at the trial level for the state of Minnesota. And to recognize that 4% is something that I feel strongly about, that is very important to me, and at least from the southern part of the state, from the Winona area of the state, where we interact with the district court judges. We never see the appellate court judges. We never see the Supreme Court justices. But you see your district court judge. You see them either more than you would like to or not enough. But they're individuals that you interact with as a voter. So I would like to make sure that we are looking at making a point, which I'm trying to make the point, which is that the district court judges need to have this increase. I understand that we're not able to make every objective balance that we would like to by meeting all of the data points that were presented to us. And I understand the stress that some of the members are feeling where it might be too much money when you look at the entire picture. But I would like the opportunity to recognize the district court judges to have that 4%, and instead of the 0.25% less that has been recommended by the proposed amendment. And I'm willing to go in any direction for the Supreme Court and for the appeals court, but I was trying to make that balance where I wouldn't make as large a recommended increase so that the district court judges could get that increase because there are so many more of them. Thank you.
Mr. Gregory.
I have a general concern about bifurcating our recommendation with respect to district court judges and appellate court judges. As a threshold matter, there are so few appellate court judges that whatever difference we recommend between those two is really going to be symbolic. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's hardly any savings there in relative terms. And I think it would only serve to be, I don't know if this is the right word, but it would serve to be a slight towards the appellate court judges really for no reason. You know, the judiciary, as most other state agencies, should at its best operate as a single unit. The roles of the appellate court judges, it is admittedly different. Their exposure to the public is admittedly different, but it's no less important. And I don't think there's been any testimony that there's any sentiment like that. And I wouldn't want the recommendations of this council to be fodder for that kind of resentment within and between the members of the judiciary. So I really have deep concerns about making different recommendations, particularly because the statutory considerations we're thinking about are not just attraction and retention, but also about fairly and adequately compensating them for the work that they do.
Are you talking about different differentiation between the appellate court and the Supreme Court?
I am.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. So the motion before us is to, you know, 3.75% for and all of this involves with 2021 and 2022, 3.75% for the district court and 3.5% for the appellate court and the Supreme Court. That's the amendment to the underlying motion. So we'll vote on that first, I think. Does everybody understand it? Okay. All right, let's take the roll, and I guess because we're on the phone, we have to do this orally.
Yes. Chair Berg?
I get to go first. I vote yes.
David Asp? Mary Lynn Dahlquist?
Yes.
Annie Deckert?
Yes.
Joy Demaree?
Yes.
Tom Evenson?
Here.
Is that a yes?
No.
Yeah,
maybe.
That's a yes vote, Tom?
Okay. Is that a yes vote, Tom?
Yes.
James Fox?
No.
Peter Gregory?
No.
Jessica C. Robert Meyerson?
No.
Gail Olson?
Yes.
James Robbins?
Yes.
James Wensler?
No.
Jennifer Zielinski?
No.
Seven yes, five no.
So the amendment is adopted, close vote of 7-5. So now we have that, your motion has been amended.
It has.
And you can now speak to the amended motion. If you wish anything further, or else we can just vote on it.
No, I have nothing further. I appreciate everybody's feedback and the options that they put forward.
Other discussion on the motion now before you? If not, clerk will take the roll.
Chair Burke?
Yes.
David Asp? Mary Lynn Dahlquist?
Yes.
Annie Deckert?
Yes.
Joy DeMaree?
Yes.
Tom Evenson?
Yes.
James Fox?
No.
Peter Gregory?
No.
Robert Meyerson?
Yes.
Gail Olson?
Yes.
James Robbins?
Yes.
James Wensler?
Yes.
Jennifer Zielinski?
Yes.
Ten yes and two no.
All right. The motion carried. We have our recommendation for the judicial salaries. And some very healthy, good, thoughtful discussion to get there, I thought. So I thank all the members for that. This was not easy, and I think it was a very good discussion. So then let's, you want to take a break now and then go into the constitutional officers, or should we start in?
Start in.
Take a break?
I'm ready to start.
I want a refresher.
I'm ready for a
break.
Well, I'll take a break. Take a five-minute break, short break. Maybe we'll take another one later on. Take a five-minute break.